Let's begin today by reading 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. And this is where Paul wrote, "For behold this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you." Paul had written the book of 1 Corinthians to these Christians, and in that letter he corrected them. He rebuked them, and they repented. They corrected many of the problems that Paul talked about in that book. And they especially corrected, that is, they dealt with the man who was living in sin. Now, up to that time, they had ignored the problem. But when Paul got on to them in the letter of 1 Corinthians, they woke up and they repented. And that's what he just told them in the verses before this. In verse 9, look at verse 9 where Paul says, "Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner." And then he says again in verse 10 that godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. So they did repent. And in verse 11, Paul shows how they changed when they repented. Now remember, before Paul wrote this letter, these Corinthians were arrogant, they were selfish, and they were unconcerned. But when they got that letter and they read it, they repented. And we're going to look at how they changed. And we're going to see especially that that change brought a change not just in how they thought, but in how they felt. It was not just a change in their thinking, it was a change in their feeling. And so these feelings had not been there before Paul wrote that letter. But after he wrote the letter and they repented, these feelings came to life. These feelings were awakened in these people. And if there's a passage in the New Testament that shows that Christian people ought to have certain feelings, it is the passage that we're looking at. So let's begin. In verse 11, Paul shows that because of their genuine godly sorrow, that they repented, and that repentance produced these things. Look at the wording again in verse 11. "For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed," and that is that you had this godly sorrow that led to repentance. He says you sorrowed after a godly sort. And then he says, "What carefulness it wrought in you." And that means that it produced in you. This godly sorrow that led to repentance produced this carefulness, this clearing of yourselves, this indignation, and all these other attitudes and feelings that he talks about here. So let's begin with the first one. Paul said that because they had this godly sorrow and repented, they produced, and that repentance produced in them, a feeling and an attitude of carefulness. And that means earnestness. It means diligence. Before, they had had a careless attitude. They were not concerned, even though the church was in serious trouble and full of sin. Christians sometimes get into a self-centered mindset where they're not concerned about other people, and they're not even concerned about the church like they ought to be. So what does it take to wake Christian people up? Well, sometimes it takes some kind of tragedy. Sometimes it takes a severe trial and danger in life in order to get people's attention in the church. But sometimes, like we find here, it's simply a case of somebody telling us that we're wrong. And because Paul had the love and the courage to tell these people that they were wrong, they changed. And as a result of their changing, there is a completely different way that they look at the world and look at the church and look at themselves. Then Paul says the second feeling and the second state of mind that was produced when these people repented was a clearing of themselves. What does he mean? Well, the word clearing here comes from the word which means defense. So we ask, how did they clear themselves? And how did they defend themselves? And of what did they clear themselves? Well, they cleared themselves by their actions when they repented. They cleared themselves by correcting their mistakes and correcting their errors. So what did they clear themselves of? Well, they cleared themselves of their guilt. They cleared themselves of the charges that Paul rightly made against them. And when they cleared these things up, they really cleared these matters up. And Paul was impressed when he says, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, and so forth. Paul is saying that when they repented, that they truly repented. And the evidence of their repentance is this state of mind and these passionate feelings that they had for the truth. The third thing that he mentions is indignation. Paul says, yea, what indignation? That is righteous indignation. They were angry, and they were angry in a good sense. He's not saying that they were mad at him because he wrote that letter. So instead of tolerating sin like they had, when they read the letter, they repented, and they began to feel angry about the sins that were in that church. And Christians ought to feel that kind of anger today over sin. Jesus did. In Mark chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says that Jesus was in the synagogue, and he looked round about upon them with anger, being grieved for their hardness of heart. Paul felt this anger. When Paul was in the city of Athens, the Bible says that his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. The fourth feeling that we find is fear. Paul said, yea, what fear? That is, when you repented, when you had this godly sorrow, and you repented, it produced this righteous and good fear in your life. This is fear of God, fear of the consequences of sin, fear of disobeying God. Before, you see, they didn't care. Before, they were not afraid, and they were not alarmed, even though they should have been. Oftentimes, it does take a great tragedy in life to arouse this feeling. And again, there was a big change in these people's attitude and the feelings that they had because Paul wrote the letter and because, especially, he rebuked them. Then Paul says, yea, what vehement desire, that is a longing, a desire. They really wanted to do what was right. Before this time, they were not even trying. They were not concerned about doing what was right. They were going to church. They were attending worship services, but they really were not dedicated. But once they got that letter and realized their mistake, the Bible says that they had godly sorrow and they repented. And now he says that they have this vehement desire, this longing to do what God wants them to do. So they had learned what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 6, that is, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, the next thing that Paul mentions is zeal. He says, yea, what zeal? That is, what zeal was produced in you, what zeal occurred in you after you repented. Later, he says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 2, that their zeal had provoked very many. Before Paul wrote to them, they did not have the zeal that they should have had. They were indifferent. They were lazy. They were apathetic and unconcerned. But after Paul wrote the letter and got on to these people, they changed their feelings and their thinking. Now they're alive. They're enthused. They're excited. They're earnest and they are zealous. And Paul is so impressed with their change of heart and mind that he says, yea, what zeal, that is, what zeal is in you now at this point. Then we have the word revenge. He says, yea, what revenge? The New King James uses the word vindication. This comes from a word which oftentimes refers to some kind of punishment. And probably what he's talking about here is the withdrawing from the guilty brother because he calls that a punishment in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Now, the word revenge here doesn't mean that they were doing it out of spite or out of meanness. It has to do with the fact that this man was guilty and that he deserved this punishment or this withdrawal that Paul talked about and that he told them to inflict upon this man. So he's not indicting their motive here. He's just saying that they had dealt with this problem urgently and completely. They didn't delay, and they did not back up or make excuses. Paul told them to deal with this guilty man, and they did it, and they did it with urgency, and they did it completely. Now, Paul says, in all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. You have shown that you have done what was right, that you did what was required of you. In all these areas, you have proved that. And notice that he says in verse 11, you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Now, that might refer in general to the problems in the church at Corinth that Paul identified in the book of 1 Corinthians. But specifically here in this context, it seems to point to the problem, the matter of the brother who was living in fornication, because that's what he goes into in verse 12. Notice in verse 12, wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong. Well, there were many people in the church at Corinth that had done wrong. But he's talking specifically now about a certain person, a certain man who had done wrong. And that appears to be the man who was living in fornication. A member of the church at Corinth was living in fornication. Now, this is what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. He said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So one of the men in the church at Corinth was living with his father's wife. And that doesn't appear to be his biological mother. That appears to be his stepmother. And this man was living with her. And so Paul said that when he wrote that letter, the book of 1 Corinthians, and he told the church to withdraw from that man, he said, I didn't do that. I didn't simply write that for the cause of the man that had done the wrong, or, he says, for his cause that suffered wrong. Now, the man that suffered wrong here appears to be the father of this man, because if there was anybody that was offended, if there was anybody that had been done wrong, that would be the father. And so Paul said, I didn't simply write that because of the man that did the wrong, that is the man who was living with his stepmother, or for the father of that man. He said, I did that also so that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you, so that you would see the concern that we have for you. So that shows that church discipline is not designed to be some kind of vindictive move against somebody in the church because of some personal difficulty. It's because of love and care and concern in the true Christian sense. So in verses 13 through 16, as Paul closes this chapter, he talks about the comfort that he had in them, the comfort that Titus had because of these Christians. And then he ends by saying in verse 16 that he had confidence in them, and especially because they had repented and changed so many things, and that they had taken on a completely different way of looking at the truth and at their relationship to God.